Today's daf from Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Beit. We're holding on Samach Aleph, Omud Beit, right at that new perek, which gives us a chance for Richie to finish up what he couldn't finish up before Yontif, and that is... and that is... Great. Thank you, Rich. So, moving on now into the din of diurim, what is considered to be diur. Now, this starts off with what appears to be a straight-out issue of defining whether a goy has a concept of diur, whether somebody's presence needs to be there in order to be considered to be a dayar. But it turns out that there's a lot of other hidden issues at play over here in the Mishnah. So it sounds pretty straightforward. Adar ima akum b'chatzer. Somebody lives with a goy in a chotzer. He owns a house with you. Or with someone who doesn't accept the concept of eruv, and we'll see that that is referring specifically to a kuti. And you remember the kutim were a specific group of people. We have a machlokas, whether they're geri emes or geri arayot, and they were brought there by Sancheirov specifically to mess things up for us. In any event, we'll get to the details in the Gemara. But the halacha is, according to the Tanakhama, hareza oser alav. So the very fact that he's living and will not be able to join the Eruv, because either he doesn't have shaykhus to the dinim of Eruv, or because he doesn't accept the dinim of Eruv, we'll see exactly what modeh be'eruv means. So then you've got someone who is living there and will not join your Eruv. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, a very strange thing, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, the goy cannot aser you unless there's two Jews. So if there's two Jews who would have asered one on the other without making an Erev, so then if the two Jews make an Erev, the goy will aser on them. But if there's only one Jew, then the goy will not aser on them. This is a contradiction in terms. Makes absolutely no sense. I mean, either the goy's home is considered to be a diur, or it's not considered to be a diur. And of course, that will be the key to understanding that there are hidden issues in this Mishnah that have nothing to do directly with the dinim of Erevin, but we're utilizing the dinim of Erevin in order to make gezeras that will change our interrelationship with the goyim. So in here, we don't quite at this stage understand what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov can mean. Omer Rabbi Gamliel, Ma'aseh b'tziduki echad shayadar imanu b'mavui b'Yerushalayim, v'yamar lanu, Abba, mi'aru v'yotziu et hakelim l'mavui ad shelo yotzi v'yaser alechem. So we live not with a kuti, we live with a tziduki. And the tziduki is certainly not like a goy, the way that Rabbi Gamliel is understanding it now, because the kuti actually is similar to the goyim, even though this Mishnah was written before the gezeira, making the kutim like goyim. But the question is, according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's a kuti as a din of a goy because they are geri arayot. So understands Rashi. And anyway, this guy was living with us, and he was mevatel rishus. Now remember that this is the primary difference between a Jew and a goy in a chatzim. Assuming that a goy will aser a Jew living in a chatz, and assuming that that is because of the issue that they do have diur. Again, we're going to see that that's not so simple, but let's assume that they have diur. Can they do the same thing that a guy who forgets to make an Erev does for you? So we had 10 people in a chatz, or one of the homes didn't make an Erev. We already learned before that it's possible to be mevatel rishos. Mevatel Rishus means that he says, okay, guys, look, I am not going to be using my chatzer. You guys are welcome to take over my Rishus. Remember, we had the machlokas before, whether that includes the mevatel his home or just being mevatel the chatzer. Can he be mevatel the home, or is it just look like it's a fake out and so on? But right now, that's not our issue. The issue is like this. The difference between the goy is that a goy cannot be mevatel Rishus. And he can only, the only way to deal with the presence of a goy, if he is going to be there for Shabbos, as we'll see, is to actually formally rent the rishus from him. We'll get into those halachas coming in. But a tzeduki who is Jewish can actually be mevatel his rishus to you. And what our father said to us, said Rabbi Gamliel, was that we better go out there and bring our stuff out into that mavoi, because if the guy will get there first, then it means that he's basically canceling the bitul of his rishus. But if we get there first, and then we're there when Shabbos is actually chal, so that will be koveya, the use in the area, as being our own. Reb Yehuda says, that's not what he said. He said this, b'lashon acher, he said, okay, while this guy is still hasn't come out there and canceled his bitul rishus by going out and doing stuff in the chatzur, the mavli, hurry up and get your stuff done before he comes out and assers it on you to use. So in other words, according to Reb Yehuda, even if the Bnei Mavoi were already Zeicha, this guy can come out there and say, I changed my mind. And if he does, it isn't defined by what happens at the beginning of Shabbat. It's defined by the fact that the guy is there and he's using the Rishus, and therefore he assers on you because he wasn't part of the Erev. Now, the Gemara immediately points out the contradiction in terms in what Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov says. So Yasif Abaye bar Avin, Reb Chinan bar Avin are sitting around, and Abaye is there, and they are talking the whole issue out, and they're saying, look, I mean, Bishlam Rabbi Meir, we understand what Rabbi Meir, that's the Tanakami here, holds. He holds, obviously, that the Dira of an Ovid Kechovin is considered to be an actual living space. And therefore, if it's a living space, so then it's going to asser on a Jew who's living there. What's the difference? How many there are? Fact is, he's living there. Lo shna chad, lo shna trei. But Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov makes no sense. Maika sevra, I mean, make up your mind. Ika sevra dirat oveit kochavim is considered to be a dira. So then even if there's only one Jew there, how is he supposed to carry if the chotzer now becomes a rishus harabim, so to speak, with Rabbana, because it's got more than one person there. And we have our gezer that the Rabbana said, if there's more than one person living there, then you're going to have an Erev. So if a goy is considered to be living where he's living, then why don't you need the Erev with him? And since he can't make an Erev, then it should be also to carry. So obviously, if Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that it doesn't matter, he seems to be saying that there is no din of dira that is given. Okay, so then Iloshma Diraf, he's not considering a goy to actually be living there. So what's the difference? How many Jews are in the chatzer? I don't understand how the number of Jews has any impact on the number of goyim. Well, what the heck is going on? So then if he doesn't have a din of a dayar, so a filo trei nami lo nitzar, and if there's two Jews, all of a sudden that makes him a dayar? So Abaye turns around, he's listening to Abaye Baravin and Repidina Baravin talking to each other. And Abaye was just sitting there, but this like really got him. He thought this conversation is crazy. He says to them, what, you think that the point of Rabbi Meir is that an Akum is considered to actually be living there? That is definitely not the case. You're missing the whole point over here. Because V'sava, Rabbi Meir, dirat akum shma dirat, don't we have a braita that says beferish, chatzero shel oved kochavim areyu kedir shel behema? That if you are looking at a place where goyim live, then that place is not considered to be human dira. It's exactly the same as a barn. And a barn is not going to asar on you. And therefore, you see clearly from there that the dira is not considered to be a dira of an akum. And so what is the point over here? A totally different issue, my friends. It has nothing to do with what you thought. It's clear that nobody holds that the dira of an akum is actually considered to be a dira. Okay, I'll tell you what the problem is. The Rabbanan wanted to prohibit people from living with goyim in case they would end up, as is usually the case, as the Rambam explains, that a person is always going to be mushpa by his environment, and there is no way to avoid this, no matter how it is that you'll try, because, as the Rambam explains, that's part of your evolutionary history, is that you're impacted by your social context because you are a social animal, and there's no way that's going to change. So because of that, the Rabbanan actually wanted to aser living with goyim. And we can't actually do that for obvious reasons. So what we did, therefore, instead, is we made it difficult for Jews to live with goyim. How did we make it difficult? By pretending that goyim have a dira, And that therefore you're going to have a hell of a time getting an Erev made on Shabbos. And finally, you'll get so sick and tired of the negotiations with these people that I got to rent their rishus and so on. I say, the heck with it. I'll move into a Jewish chutzner. So really, this whole thing is a fake out. The truth is that Goyim do not have a dira. The thing is like this. Why does it make a difference if there's one person or two? Very simple. The shaila is whether it's a likely situation that a single Jew is going to move into a chotzer with goyim, because chances are they'll manage to knock him off somehow. So since the goyim are chashurim on shvichas domim, and nobody's going to know what happened to this guy. Gee, I don't know. No, he never came home for the past. I haven't seen him for a year. I don't know nothing about him. You know, what are they going to do? Dig up the whole chotzer to find his body? Anyway, so it's unlikely that a Jew is going to do this. Since we have a general rule that the Chachomim do not make a gezerah when it's not a dover that is nimtza, it's not the kedai to make the gezerah. That's a general halacha. So it's a milsa de lo shliach. Milsa de lo shliach lo goes be rabbanim. Rabbi Meir, you will recall, Rabbi Meir always takes possibilities into consideration, right? Because he's the one that's chayshin lemiyuta and so on. So according to Rabbi Meir, it's not that the dira is really a dira. He's just worried that an individual, it could happen, right? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Sarver came David Kachamim Chashuda Shvichas Domim. We can't really trust the Goyish neighbor. So because of that, if you have other people that are there, okay, so trade the Shkichi the diary. So then the Rabbanan made the Gezerah. But if there's only one, so the Rabbanan didn't make the Gezerah because it's not Shkiach. Because Rabbi Meir says, okay, but it could happen, right? Zimna de Mekri the diary. So they made one Gezerah. And one Gezerah is, anytime that you've got a goy in the chotzer, you're going to have to be renting the rishus, and you don't know the reason. You think the reason is because it's a typical Erevin situation. They pretended it's a typical Erevin situation, but it really isn't. It's not because of diur. So we utilized Erevin in a way that is really consistent with Erevin, if you think about it, because the whole concept of Erevin is meant to clarify for you the issue of the difference between privacy and public and what public consists of and so on. So Mamela, it's very, very consistent with our desire for you to understand this is where I live, not with Goyim. So that ends up being a tikkun of Erevin, like around the back. Fine. And that's the whole machlokas. So you fooled, you were totally fooled. Imagine how the government's going to be totally fooled when somebody brings a suit about why Jews can't live in my chatzah. What are you talking about? Jews can't live in your chatzah. What are you, crazy? We love living with Goyim. Yeah, so, okay, go. So, Memela, if you guys were fooled, believe me, it's a great takana, right? You thought we were talking about the diur. So, therefore, the Rabbanan came along and said, Omer Rabbanan, ein eruv moyu b'mokum akum. You can't make an eruv. And you can't just ask him to be mevatel his rishos, because that won't help either. Ein bitul rishos moyu b'mokum akum. What you'll have to do is you'll have to rent. Aha! But they know that that guy is not going to rent it to you. And because of that, it's not our fault. We'd love to live with you. These crazy guys never are willing to rent their homes out. Wait a minute, how can you be so sure that the goy, why won't the goy rent to you? I mean, I understand there is a machlokas later on about what that rental means. There's two approaches to that rental. It needs to be a schirut bria, meaning a powerful schirut, or it can be even a schirut ri'u'a. That's not very strong. Well, it'll turn out in the Gemara that the difference between a schirut bria and a ru'u'ah is the schirut bria means that you tell the guy at the time that you're rental, you understand that this means that I am renting your rishos in the chutzah to the extent that I may bring out 100 barrel of wines, you'll be barely able to walk through the chutzah. Is that okay? No. So, all right, so if you hold that it needs to be a schirut bria, so we understand, well, of course, he's not going to want to rent out the chutzah under those circumstances. But what about if you hold, according to the Mandi Arma, that it's a schirut ru'u'ah, and that would be sufficient? Why are the Rabbanan so sure that he won't rent it out? Because there is this machlokas, you see, because Rav Chista said, Itmar, Rav Chista said schirut bria, Rav Shesha said schirut ru'u'ah. We didn't quite know what that meant at the time. This is a little bit tangential, so because we're already letting you see into the concept. Okay, so we have, what is the meaning of schirut bria, schirut ru'u'ah? I mean, maybe bria means that you have to use a real, has to be cash, that has meaning in the court, which means it's a pruta. And a ruah means you can even use pachot mishava pruta. No, that is not what it means, because when it comes to dealing with goyim, there is no difference between less than a shavah pruta and a shavah pruta. And I'll show that to you. So if that's the case, it can't be the difference between skirut brua and not, because the din is that you cannot rent even with less than a shavah pruta, and that wouldn't be sufficient. You need to know something, and that is that it's absolutely clear. Furthermore, Rabbi Chiya bar Ava pointed out that Rabbi Yochanan actually says that the ben noyach, because of the relationship of a goy to the dinim, to the way that he relates to money and to things that are worth money, there is absolutely no vitur in a goy. A Jew is not makbid, and he's going to be meichel if you take something from him that's less than a shavah pruta. And a goy is not meichel. This is mine. So because of that, it means that if he steals even less than a shavah pruta, he's going to be chayiv misa, because he's over on the one of the shavah mitzvahs b'nei noyach. And since it's less than a shavah pruta, it doesn't have meaning in terms of hashavah. So he can't be meshiv it, because it doesn't have any value to be meshiv. But in terms of the act of gezela, it is an act of gezela. And therefore, that can't be the difference between a schirut bria and a schirut ruah. So the difference must be, therefore, bria means that it actually, you can make a deal with him that you want to fill up muharki vavurgani, so that if I have picnic tables, the muharki is like a bench that you use at a picnic, or the benches or the chairs that you sit around it with, and the guy has to say, yeah, you can even use it for that. I'm going to be making a big kumzitz. And ru'uah means no, not ad kidei kach, below muharki avurgan, right? So if you're going to tell me, if you're going to tell me that, I got to tell the guy, you know, I may end up making a kumzitz over here and you have to agree to that and so on. I understand why he's not going to agree. But if you're telling me that it's ru'ah, so then why wouldn't he rent it out? Because the goyim are very suspicious. And what do you mean you want to rent it out? Why do you want to rent it out? You can use it. I don't care. What do you want to do? You want to be out there and have a picnic with your kids? It's fine. No. I got to rent it. Uh-oh. These guys are up to something. So they're convinced that you're doing some kind of kishuv for something. I don't know. We don't even mention the M word in our house. But these Jews, we know they're all those kind of people. And they're going to be doing stuff like kishuv. We have the same thing, of course, by Bedikas Chometz, remember, that you're not allowed to put your candle into the wall. You don't need to be Beidik Chometz, because the Goyim are going to be convinced that you're doing some kind of kishuv from the wall. This was unfortunately the cause of many deaths in Europe, where they would go ahead and make pogroms because they're supposed to kishuv. In any event, so what's the guy going to do? He's going to sue the Jews for not allowing Jews to live with Goyim? Ma pitom. All we asked for was to rent your place, for God's sake. You were the madman who said, I don't rent to Jews. Aha, exactly. That's the point. In any event, it works. So we know that the goyim are not going to rent you, even if it's a schirut ru'uah. I've told you that amazing, amazing story with my father's atzal of that college girl that came to ask Ashayla what's the din about her utilizing the bobby pins and stuff like that of her roommates. And he said, well, what's the issue? I mean, and so she said, well, it's worth less than a shavah pruta. So I want to know whether I'm allowed to take it. I mean, because everybody uses like bobby pins that they find in the bathroom, but I'm nervous about taking it. So he said, well, it's worth less than a shavah pruta. So she says, I know, but I'm a goy. I'm not Jewish. So I want to know whether I'm allowed to use it or not. It turns out, how the heck did she know the dinim of pachas mishava pruta? And it's like a crazy story. So it turned out, it's a beautiful story. It turned out that her roommate, who is Jewish, had been given the Sefer by Reb Shamshon Raphael Hirsch called Chorev in English, the English translation. The Jew didn't read it, but she read it. And she was so overwhelmed by this thing that she decided she's keeping Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and she went out to learn all of the dinim. She came up with the most amazing shilas. I mean, really, lumbish shilas. One of her shilas was, is she allowed to buy meat in a kosher butcher shop? That was the first time he found out she's not. What do you mean? Are you allowed to buy meat in a kosher butcher shop? You can't buy meat anywhere else. She says, no, you don't understand. I'm not Jewish. So what do you mean? What's the problem with the kosher butcher shop? I don't understand. No, I want to know if I can rely on the fact that shechita is considered to be the equivalent of death, so there's no chashash of Avram and Achai, so that in the non-kosher butcher shops I don't buy, because they may cut things while the animal is still alive, lahalacha, so I don't know. But can I rely on the fact that it would be a din of not no longer being alive because it was matir Avram and Achai for a Jew, so would it be matir Avram and Achai for me too? It's like, cool. And it turned out, so he asked her, like, so why don't you just become Jewish? This is crazy. The most amazing answer in the world. I can't do that to my mother because I would have a din of Tinek Shenelad. And Tinek Shenelad would mean that I'm cutting myself off completely from my mother. Absolutely amazing. Anyway, it's a beautiful story. But so this would be the nafkamina. So if you've got to rent from them, you could certainly rent for Pachas B'Shafer Pruta. And therefore the problem will be because of Kshafim, and they're scared to rent to Jews. Anyway, let's get back to that halacha. Now, we had that brayta that said, Chatzeros shelovel gechom emreo kedir shel beima. And if that's the case, let's say you've got five goyim living in a chatzer. You come to visit on Shabbos. Can you carry from one of those homes things in the house to the outside? Yes, you can, because it's all one rishus. And there's none of the takana derabanan that you're not allowed to carry from one rishus to the other, because they do not have a din of a diur. They have a din of dir shel beima, and therefore it's mutar lachnis lotzi michatzer labatim umin batim lachatzer if you're coming to visit them. But the moment you've got one Jew living in there, according to Rabbi Meir, it already becomes aser. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, no, it's only aser if there's two Jews who are shayach to diur, and they would aser one on the other. So then we throw in this halacha that then the goy is considered to be a dayar because of the Jews. So I don't understand. Isn't that a contradiction to the Mishnah? How can you say chatziros shel akum is like a dir shel be'ima if it says beferish in the Mishnah that if you live with a goy in the chatzir, he asers on you? But this seems to be saying hareyu kedir shel be'ima in general. That would mean that he does not aser at all. I mean, it's not that he just doesn't aser the other goyim. He doesn't aser a Yisrael either. So what does that mean? I mean, I understand. It says if a Jew lives in that chatzer, so at that point, says Rabbi Meir, or two Jews, at that point, says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that the Yisrael makes it aser. But the bond, the actual presence of the goy is not what makes it aser. It seems to be the fact that there's a Jew there that makes it usher, and therefore you can't carry out from the goy's house somewhere else. But if the goy is there alone with one Jew or two Jews or whatever, it's mashman that he would not usher. A goy can't usher on the Jew. So how do we square that with the Mishnah? Lokasha. It depends whether he is there for Shabbos or he's not there. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the goy is there. He was there for Shabbos. He didn't go away for Shabbos. So if he's there in the chatzer, so then he does prevent a Jew from carrying. But in the case where the Brice is talking about that the goy cannot aser the Jew, that's true. If he's not home for Shabbos, then he does not make it aser. The only thing that would happen is that his house is aser for the Jews to carry from into the chatzer, if there are Jews. But it's true. He doesn't aser the Jews. So once there's a presence of Jews, it means that his home is considered to be an actual house. This doesn't make sense. I mean, this seems to revolve around the issue of whether an uninhabited house is considered to be a house vis-a-vis the dinim of Erevin. So, I mean, Mamanavshah, what is Rabbi Meir saying? Ikas Ravadira Balo Baalim Shpadira is an unoccupied house. Is that called a dira? So then if he holds it's called a dira, then the Oved Kochavim should also aser carrying from the Jew's house. I don't get what it means to say it works in one direction, not in the other direction. What does that mean? The goy is like a dir shel behema, but if there's Jews there, you understand what the Braita is saying. The goy is like, that's a given. The goy is like a dir shel behema. Okay, so then he can't aser on you. But if there's Jews in the house, in the chotzer, then the Jews aser the Jews from carrying from the goy's house into the Jew, right? How does that work? Apparently because we're considering the house that's unoccupied by the goy to be considered a dira. So then I don't understand. So then even if a Jew would have a house in that chotzer, and the Jew wouldn't be there for Shabbos, if you're telling me that a dira without a house is not considered to be a dira, so then even a Yisrael should not aser. I mean, make up your mind. Either the goy's house should aser the Jew, not only the other direction, or the same thing would be true about a Jew. It would have nothing to do with a goy. There's the Gemara. This is also part of the way that this whole thing is a hidden message. The truth is that Rabbi Meir holds that a dira without occupants is not considered to be a dira, okay? And 100%. Yisrael should also be mutter, except that what? If you are someone who has a din of diur, and therefore you're shaykh to the dinim of Erevin, the Rabbanan made a gezera, this was the time they made the gezera about chatzeros, that even though the original takona of Erevin was not including homes without someone occupying them, the Rabbanan made a gezera to make sure that people shouldn't get used to carrying in a chotzer where somebody isn't there, and then they'll think when he comes for a vacation, he comes once a year for vacation, they'll think they could also carry. But that's because he is shayach to the din of Erevin, so that's part of the din of Erevin. But that extension can't apply to goyim because they have nothing to do with Erevin. We're only pretending that they have to do with Erevin. So how can we make a gezera in Erevin to apply to goyim who are not part of the din of Erevin? Ah! Oh, okay. But wait a minute. So by a goy, where the idea over there is even when he's there, he's not asering because of a diur. He's asering because of this other thing, because we're pretending that he's asering. Shema yilmad mimasa. We don't want you to learn from him. Well, there's nothing to learn from him if he isn't there, is there? So how would that be part of the gzera of the Erevin? I don't know. How would he make an usher if he's not there? You can't just create something from nowhere. Wait, it's true that if he's not there, that he doesn't usher? Didn't we have that whole discussion before based on the Mishnah later that says, Vatnan, the guy who leaves to go to a different city, it doesn't matter whether he's a goy or a Jew, it's still going to be usher to carry in the chatzar. So it says Rabbi Meir. So that, I thought, didn't you just say that Rabbi Meir holds that if the goy is not at home, that he doesn't usher? That's how he explained the braisa. Boy, am I confused. Now you're telling me that according to Rabbi Meir, he actually does usher. Yes, he does usher. That's a completely different din over there. That Mishnah was talking about a goy who is within range of the chatzar. All he has to do is drive back home. Can a goy drive back home on Shabbos? Yes. So therefore, all Rabbi Meir is saying is that if he can still drive back home, so then he never left the chatzar. But so he says he's leaving. So he changed his mind and drives back home. If a Jew would leave, that could be different. Okay, so if he can't get home, he can't get home. But the point over here is that it's not considered to be unoccupied. It's occupied. But you asked me about a house that's truly unoccupied. The guy is overseas. So if it's truly unoccupied, Rabbi Meir agrees that if he's lo asi biyume, he can't get there in that same day. So then it's really unoccupied. And over there, Rabbi Meir says, ein hachinami. In that case, you'd be allowed to carry in the chatzar with the guy. Okay. Halacha l'maisa. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Listen, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and basically the din is that people have to learn that a single a Jew living with an akum doesn't have to worry about Erevin. Rav Huna says, well, I don't know that it's a halacha. I mean, the minhag is that way. that people do actually rely on Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. But if you say that it's halacha, then that would mean that you're allowed to actually publish this in a Shulchan Aruch. You can give a drasha on Shabbos, teaching it to people. I don't think that that's true. I don't think that there was ever a psak halacha like that. It's just that if somebody asks you what to do, you can tell them the minhag is that it's okay to do that. Reb Yochanan says, not even that. I'll tell you, it's not, it's a minhag, meaning that, yes, look it up in your Sefer Minhagim and somebody comes and asks you, say, yeah, that's the minhag. It's just that nagua'am, people do it, okay? People do it means don't get involved. They do it, the heck with it. But don't tell anybody to do it. It doesn't say that you can do it anywhere. They just decided that way. So it means you don't complain and tell them you're not allowed to do that. Maybe you are allowed to do that. But the point is, you don't tell people to do it. Omalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef. Now here we have another fascinating interrelationship of Masechet Eruvin with the fundamental concepts of how it is that we view Teresh Baal Peh in terms of halacha. So first of all, this is a very important din, the nafkamina between halacha, minhag, and nahagu. That itself is an important concept, which comes up quite often. But there's also the broader issue of what right you have to teach Torah as a given when the halacha was stated by someone who's your Rebbe. In other words, are these things just objective concepts that you can give over? Or are they dependent in the teacher that's giving them, and therefore it's none of your business to say that's the halacha? That's the halacha when your Rebbe says that's the halacha. Not that you can go around and somehow become the Rebbe now because you heard that's the halacha. So where does that apply? Which is an amazing concept. I mean, it's obviously nogea specifically the idea of Torah, the relationship to Torah, in which the Rambam actually brings those two mitzvahs interrelated. The lilmot Torah and the chabed, the talmidei chachamim, are the two mitzvahs of Hilchos Talmud Torah. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, look, Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, remember we had before a list of like different things that we paskin like all the time. One of those important yesodas is that Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov is called Kav Vinaki. Why? There's not much that's mentioned in a Mishnah that quotes Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, but whatever he said, Mishnah's Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov is always clear and it's true l'halacha. So that means based on that ruling, it's a general ruling. It's not a specific ruling that somebody gave, right? So, I mean, it's a given, all right? Furthermore, we just said Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda quoted Shmuel as saying that you should know here for sure it's like Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, right? So, I mean, because remember, in general, we'd be paskin l'kula when it comes to the dinim of Erevin. Whoever's l'kula, that's the halacha, is like him. So then, I mean, is this considered to be something that is like a given, and therefore anybody's just allowed to paskin based on it because it's part of the way the Torah is? Or does it still relate back to the idea of being meira halacha? So I want to know, can I paskin in the area where my Rebbe is and say that since these are givens, so if somebody asks me, I live in a chutzer with a goy, and what is the din? Do I need to buy from him? I'm the only Jew in the chutzer. Can I say you do not need to buy from him? Omar Lay, Sir of Yosef, told him, look, I know that even a question about whether you're allowed to dip an egg into kutach, and kutach is a milchika dip, right? So because it had whey in it mixed with bread. I mean, if somebody's crazy enough to ask you, you're allowed to dip an egg in a salad dressing that's milchik. And even that, he didn't want. They asked Reb Chista. Actually, the regular says, I asked Reb Chista because I wanted to see whether he would give that or not. He would give the psak. And I asked it throughout his lifetime because, as we'll see, it makes a difference as a Talmud becomes a Talmud Chaver. So in other words, as he grows in Chachma, there may be situations in which he's allowed to be Meira Halacha. So I kept asking him to see what he would do. And he refused the entire lifetime of his Rebbe Ravuna. And he refused to answer. So, I mean, I see clearly that he held that even something like this, Tosfos explains, by the way, that the Be'ah Bekutach is not stam, somebody's insane. Because if somebody asks an insane thing that any two-year-old knows and it's part of daily, that's not called even needing a halacha. What it's talking about over here is that the egg was found in the Tarnagol. It wasn't laid by the Tarnagolet. So after Shechita, they opened up and there was a fully formed egg that had not been laid. So you wanted to know whether, since it was found in the Tarnagolet, is that considered to be fleishix or not, right? That was the question. It's not stam. Anyway, so now this was the question that was asked by Abaye. Now, Abaye himself ran into the same thing as Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba asked Abaye, okay, how about if one day there will be a Shulchan Aruch? I mean, I know it's inconceivable that anyone would write something like that, but we have a book that records halachas, even though generally that's usher. It's called Megillat Ta'anit. So Megillat Ta'anit lists days that you're not allowed to make a tainis, days that you're not allowed, that you do make a tainis, days you're not allowed to give a hesped. Anyway, it's all written down. So if the Torah ends up being written down, does that turn it into data? And therefore, it is no longer nogea, the whole halacha of being meira halacha bifnei rabo? Or do I still have to worry about it? So ma'ulu ruye ba'atre de rabbi. What about if his Rebbe lives around that area? It has nothing to do with the psak that his Rebbe told him. So can I say it based on what's written in a book and I'm just sort of giving over information then? Or can I not even do that? Because it's like taking on myself the itztila de rabbi, so to speak. I'm taking on the kovod of my Rebbe and turning myself into a primal giver instead of a receiver. And there too, Abaye told him, well, I could tell you what Rabbi Yosef told me when I asked him my question about Rabbi Yosef ben Yaakov. Hachi amar Rabbi Yosef, afilu be'ata bekutcha, I asked boi minei Rav Chista kol shnei d'ravun, and he refused to answer me. Now, Rav Chista, actually, this was a maysa after we used Rav Chista as the model for this, right? Rav Chista actually did paskin halachas in this town of Kafre. And that was even while Rav Huna was alive. So Rav Huna used to live in Pumpadisa. So obviously, what we have to understand is that when we're talking about his unwillingness to give up psak halacha as long as Rav Huna was alive, that was only when it was ba'asrei d'rabbi. It was only when he was in the town where Rav Huna was located. But apparently there would be no problem of his doing so in a different city. Now, this is not so pushing, because as we're going to see, Rav Chista was considered to be a Talmud Chaver of Rav Huna and not a true Talmud. Now, a Talmud Chaver, remember that the din of Rabbi, there's two very different din of Rabbi. There's a din in Rabbi where we call him Rabbo Muvhak. Rabbo Muv, the truth is, there's really three there. So there's Rabbo Muvhak, which means that he was Lomed Rov Chochmoso from him, or Lomed how to see things and how to learn from him. That's called Rabbo Muvhak. That is the most Chomor. Then there's Rabbo Muvhak is sometimes used in a much looser way, where we talk about halacha where a person would have several Rabbo Muvhaks, which the Rishonim point out doesn't make sense, because if Rabbo Muvhak is the one who's Kaveh Rov Chochmoso, how can you have two? So by definition, it doesn't make sense. So they extend this to mean that there's a lower concept of Rabbo Muvhak, and we'll see that these have actual halachic implications in terms of the distance from the Rav, in terms of the Rav's lifetime or after his life, and so on and so forth. So over here, Tosfos says, look, don't jump to conclusions over here, because what we're talking about over here, that halacha of Rabbo Muvhak, is where you learned a lot of things from him, right? So let's say you spent a year learning by him and so on. You couldn't say that you learned Rov Chochmoso, but it's seriously your Rebbe for a while. When we're talking about someone who's a Talmud Chaver, says Rashi, we're talking about someone who is at the same level of you in learning, but has taught you things And remember that the Mishnah says, "Haloimid afilu davar echad," as we talk about from David HaMelech. If you learned even one thing, you're mechuyev to be mechabed that person. But the covet of that person is called tamid chover, so that you're on the same level. We're going to see the nafkaminas, but over here, he was, Rav Chisda himself, was only a Talmud Chover, not a true Talmud to Rav Huna. And because of that, since he wasn't in the location of Rav Huna, and he was also a Talmud Chover, so he didn't have any problems in giving over Halacha L'maisa in this town of Kafri, which was far away from Rav Huna. And Rav Hamnuna, he also would give over halakhas, and he was mayor halakha in the city of Charta de Argis. This Argis Rachas was the name of a guy and a problematic guy who built that city. And he would say, even though Rav Chisda, his Rebbe, was alive, but it wasn't his makam. And because of that, he did, even in the lifetime of Rav Chisda, he gave over halakhas l'maisa.